Now we're holding on Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis, the 13th line. In the middle of talking about Kibud Av Ve'em. So the Gemara tells the story, Rab Tarfon Havalei Hahi Ima. Rab Tarfon had a mother who was very old. To call Amos to have us boil Mesa Kapuya whenever she wanted to get into her bed. And you have to realize the beds back then were built in a way they were generally higher off the ground than they are now. In any case, whether because of that or whether just because, in any case, even with a bed of the heights like we have nowadays, it would have been hard for her. So, Gochin was would bend down onto the floor and she would climb on him to get into bed. To have us noches, and whenever she wanted to get out of bed, then also she would get off on top of him and then get down to the floor. Also, so one time, Reb Tarfon went to the Beis Medrash and was boasting about what he did as far as Kibud Av Ve'em. Now, what's he doing going and boasting about his mitzvah? The Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that actually Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi something else, but there is a different explanation that it's not that he went. Why is he going and boasting about his mitzvah? Unless maybe you could say that it would mean he wants to encourage other people to do the same, but there's a different version that that his mother one time came and told the Chachamim in the Beis Medrash about it. In particular, it says that one time Reb Tarfon wasn't feeling well, and she asked the Chachamim to daven for him. And when they ask her what special schus does he have, she tells them about that. Amri leis, so they said to him or her, Adayin lo higaita l'chatzi kibud. You haven't even reached half of what the Torah considers as far as kibud av ve'ein. Did it ever happen that she took a purse full of money and threw it into the sea, and you held yourself back and you didn't embarrass her for it? That would be the ultimate level of kibud av ve'em, and you haven't reached that yet. Further on, we're going to talk about that point in the Gemara. Tosfos talks about that primarily you're talking about when the parent has some kind of hanah from it. So why would they have hanah from throwing a bag full of money into the sea and wasting it? So Tosfos talks about let's say for example we're going to have an example in the Gemara in a little while. Lemir me'emesa inchi beisa. He wants people to have a certain fear and a certain respect. So therefore, he does an extreme measure like that. But in any case, the point is they're telling Reb Tarfon or his mother, according to the different Girsais, that don't think that you've reached the ultimate level of Kibud Av Ve'em yet. You have a long way to go. Tosfos now brings from the Yerushalmi that one time his mother, the same mother of Reb Tarfon, one time she's walking in her chotzer on Shabbos, and she lost a slipper. So Reb Tarfon, she didn't know, it was hard for her to walk on the bare ground. So Reb Tarfon puts his hands down and cups every time she needs to step with that foot on the ground. Then he puts his hands over there to cup them. Anyway, there's a famous Hasidic story involving that. The question would be, why are the Chachamim putting down Reb Tarfon's, why are they putting down what he accomplished in Kibud Av and in Kibud Eim and saying, oh, it's not even half of it? So there's an interesting story involving the Avnei Nezer. When he was little, one time he was very sick, and his father went to the Kotzker to ask to daven for him. And the father starts telling him, my son is such a masmid, and he learns so much, et cetera, et cetera. And the Kotzker says, Oichmer gelernt, like, you call that learning? And the father is wondering, why is the Kotzker doing that? He comes back and he finds that his son is already recovering. And he asks him what he, and then so they get to talking about what happened, and the son, the future Avnei Nezer, explains based on this Gemara what happens. Sometimes you have a neshama comes into the world in order to accomplish one particular mitzvah, and once it's finished that in the most perfect possible way, then it's finished its shlichus in the world. So therefore, so now it's Reb Tarfon, the Chachamim are concerned when he's reaching such high levels of kibud av ve'em. That may be the sole purpose that his neshama is in the world for. So therefore, they're saying, yeah, he hasn't even reached half of it yet. He still has a long way to go. His neshama still needs to be in the world. And so the Avnei Nezer says the same thing with me in my learning. That's why the Kotzker said, Oichmer gelernt. Anyway. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef, ki have a shoma kol kara de'ime, when Rabbi Yosef would hear the sound of his mother's footsteps, and remember we learned before, Rabbi Yosef was blind, so he couldn't see her. Omar, he would say, Eikum mikame shechina da'astia, I'm going to stand up in the presence of the shechina that's coming. We learned yesterday that when a person honors his parents, then Hashem says, Male ani aleichem aleichem kilu dort. I consider it for them as though I lived among them and they honored me. So therefore, so now, in keeping with that, Rabbi Yosef would take a stand up and say his mother is that the Shechina is coming when his mother is coming. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Ashrei Mi Shaloi Chaman. So Rabbi Yochanan says, happy as a person who never saw his parents, because there's so much to do as far as kibud av ve'em, and it's very difficult for most people to actually be able to accomplish as much as possible, and then a person might even get punished min hashamayim that he didn't do the job right. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says a person is better off if he never met his parents. And then now we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara, there is mechabda mamosam, there is doing kibud av ve'em, there's aspects of it that apply after the parents have passed away, but it's still not the same thing. It's a lot easier to do those things, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan is saying that a person might be better off that way. And in fact, the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan was exactly like that. Rabbi Yochanan ki ibratu imay, when his mother conceived him, mes aviv, his father passed away. Yoladatu, and when she gave birth to him, mesa imay, his mother passed away. So he was a kailach dike yosim, as they call him, a double yosim. But so when he's saying Ashim Yishalei Chaman, he's referring to his own experience. V'chein abaya, and the same thing is true as far as abaya. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? V'omra abaya omrali aim. Don't we have all over Shas where Abaya regularly quotes his mother telling him mostly various kinds of medical advice? So we see that he did see his mother. The answer is, that wasn't his mother, that was his foster mother. So out of respect, the one who raised him. So out of respect, he calls her his mother, but she wasn't his birth mother. There is also a very well known Chassidish Maisa involving this as well. The Yida Kodesh from Peshischa, the Talmud of the famous Talmud of the Chozim Lublin, the Rebbe of Simcha Bunim Peshischa, whatever. He's one of the major early Rebbes. One time he's teaching a shiur to his students, and one time he fadveket zich in the middle. So one of his Talmidim, a Yosim, decides he can run home for a few minutes and get a bite to eat. While he's home, as his mother and Almana asks him to help her with something or other around the house. First, he's saying, I'm in a hurry. I got to get back to the Beis Medrash. I don't want to miss the shiur. Then he starts thinking to himself, you know what? I mean, Lumud Amanas Lalam and Lumud Amanas Lasa is a Lishma of Lasis, after all. How can I be learning and then I'm not even fulfilling the mitzvah? So he goes and helps her. When he comes back, the Yid HaKadosh comes out of his dveikus and he says, what did you just do? And then the Bachur tells him the whole thing. And he tells him, so here's what happened. Abaya, because we're saying over here in the Gemara, we know Abaya is a Rosh HaTevis, Hashem B'chol Yerucham Yosim. He never had the chance to do Kibud Av Ve'em to his parents while they were alive. Because like we're saying, they passed away before and when he was born. So whenever a person has a tremendous Nisoyin, Kibud Av Ve'em, then Abaya comes along with him to have a share in the mitzvah as well. So now Abaya walked in with you now to the Beis Medrash, and while he's here, but he explained to me that why was I fadveket, because I had a problem. There was something in the Gemara that we were learning I couldn't understand. Now he came along and explained it to me. Yeah. So the Gemara continues. Rav Asi havelei ahi imas kena. Rav Asi also had, his mother was old. Unfortunately, as we're going to see from this story, she wasn't all there mentally. So one day she says to him, but in a tachshitin, I want a tachshitin. Tachshitin can mean jewelry or cosmetics. Like, she thinks of herself as a lot younger than she is.
We had it either, just had it, maybe we had it in at night.
No, we didn't. No, in Yaakov, no, we didn't have this recently.
We had it somewhere. Yeah.
Okay. Ovad Lach, so okay, he arranges tachshitin for her. Then she says, but in a gavra, I want to get married. Okay, Rav Asi humors her. Nah, I am lach, fine. I'll look and find a shidduch for you.
She says, but
in a gavra, the shaper kavosach, I want a man who's as handsome as you. So he realizes that, in other words, that she's unfortunately cushy. She's gone crazy. He's not going to be able. Therefore, the problem is, it's going to be very difficult to give her the cover that he's supposed to. So it's not just a matter. It's a matter she's going to be making all kinds of impossible demands. And how is he going to be able to keep kibud aim under those circumstances? So Shavka v'ozel Eretz Yisrael. So he left her and moved to Eretz Yisrael. shomer to ozla abasri, and in fact, the Rambam writes that something along those lines, and this is brought lahalacha. If a person sees that his parents have gone crazy and he's not going to be able to take care of them properly, then he's entitled to leave the care of them to somebody else. Obviously, Rav Asi didn't just leave her stam rattling around the house herself. He arranged for somebody to take care of her, but then it's legitimate api halacha for him to leave and leave the care to somebody else. Ma'isa m'chol yom, you know, you have nursing homes and all that kind of thing. Anyway, so Shoma de Ka'ozla Abasre, then he heard that she is following him to Eretz Yisrael. She finally figured out where Rav Asi has gone, and she's on her way to Eretz Yisrael to find him again. Also came to Rav Yechanan. So he came to Rav Yechanan to ask a shayla. Am I allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz? In other words, to greet her and escort her to whether back to Bavel, whether here to Eretz Yisrael. Omalei also. So Rabbi Yechanan tells him it's also. Generally, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael except for certain rare purposes. In particular, Mefarshim point out also Rav Asi was a Kohen. And a Kohen, there's even more of a reason he shouldn't be leaving Eretz Yisrael, because the lands outside Eretz Yisrael are Tame. He asks him, Lekras ima mahu, what about if I'm doing it to greet my mother at Omale, any idea? And Rabbi Yechanan says, I don't know. In particular, yeah, that's the Maharit explains that's just that. Normally Rabbi Yechanan would say, sure, Kibud Abba'im is a big thing. But again, Rabbi Asi being a Kohen, maybe that overrides that. Anyway, atrach kurta. So Rav Asi waited a little bit. You're allowed to for certain purposes, right? But yeah. So atrach kurta. So Rav Asi waited a little while. Vahodur osa, and then he came to Rav Yechanan to ask again whether he should go. Obviously, you know, she's traveling alone. It's probably a long trip. So there was enough time for him to wait a week or two and then ask Rav Yechanan, and she still hasn't arrived in Eretz Yisrael yet. Omalei, so Rabbi Yechanan says, Asi, Nisratseisa Lotzis, I see that you want to leave. Hamokim Yachzir Cholosholem, may Hashem return you to your place in peace. So now that can mean, in other words, so Rashi explains that it means Rabbi Yechanan figured that Rabbi Asi wants to leave Eretz Yisrael and return and settle and resettle permanently in Babel. So, okay, you want to leave Eretz Yisrael, even though I don't think it's the right thing to do, but okay, I'm giving you a bracha that you should arrive in Babel safely. On the other hand, the fact that he's coming again to ask Ma'u Lotzis Me'a Oretz, yeah, the same person. So on the other hand, Ma'u Shor explains that no, it means that Rabbi Yechanan is saying, I understand you want to go in order to greet your mother and help her out. So fine, then it should be that Hashem should restore you safely here to Eretz Yisrael. You'll go to wherever it is on the road, you'll meet her, you'll escort her back to Bavel or to Eretz Yisrael, as the case may be, and Hashem should help you get safely back here to Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, the question was, now Rav Asi wasn't sure, is Rav Yechanan saying that sincerely, or is he saying that like sarcastically, you want to go, then fine, because go goes under hate, kind of thing. Also, Kamei did Rabbi Lozer. So he went to ask Rabbi Lozer, who was Rabbi Yechanan's senior Talmud. Omalei Chas V'Shalom Dil Mirtach Rotach. Is it maybe that Rabbi Yechanan is upset with me that I'm asking him again and again after he told me the first time any a day and I'm asking him again? Omalei Mai Omalach. So Rabbi Lozer asks Rabbi Asi, tell me exactly what he said. Omalei Hamokim Yachzir Chol V'Shalom. That's what he told me. Omalei. So Rabbi Lozer says, don't worry. Im Isa De Rosach Lai Amavarech Loch. If he was angry at you, he wouldn't have given you a bracha like that. So he's not machbid. Don't worry about it. Ada hochi v'hochi shamal aroina dekaasi. As these things were developing, then Rav Asi heard the next piece of news that his mother's Oren was coming. She had passed away, and now they're bringing her Oren to Israel. Omar, so he says, iyadi lo nafki, if I had known, I would not have left Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, now what does that mean? So there's a few different possibilities. Tosfos Riyaz Zokin says, it's true, mechabdei b'moisei, but to go and escort the Oren is not necessarily part of that covered. So it doesn't justify leaving Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Asi is saying, if I had known when I left Eretz Yisrael to go meet my mother that she had already passed away and all I'm going to be doing is accompanying the Oren, then I would have realized that does not override the inyan of leaving Eretz Yisrael, and I wouldn't have left in the first place. I even though I got permission from Rabbi Yechanan, I would have realized that circumstances have changed. And there's a bit of other discussion among other Mefarshim about what he means by that exactly, why it wouldn't override, why the Indian of going and meeting Ha'orin wouldn't override going into Eretz Yisrael. But then there's also the Rashash says, maybe what he means is, I wouldn't have left Bavel in the first place if I knew the trip was going to be so hard for her and she's going to end up passing away on the way, then I wouldn't have left Bavel in the first place. It's true, I left because she was making impossible demands, but if I'd known that she's going to end up trying to travel to Eretz Yisrael to find me and pass away on the way, then yeah. All right, the Gemara continues. Tanan Rabbanan, mechabdei b'chayev and mechabdei b'moiser. A person has to honor his parents when they're alive and also after they passed away. B'chayev, Kate said, what does it mean to honor them while they're alive? By the way, Tosfos over here, in connection with that story of Reb Tarfon, brings another story involving Rabbi Shmuel, that whenever Rabbi Shmuel would come home from the Beis Medrash, his mother would wash his feet. Like we talked about yesterday, we learned about Rabbi Yaakov Bar Avua, who every day when he came home, his parents would pour him a cup of something to drink. So here, she would not only pour him water to wash his feet, she would drink the water, like out of respect for her son, the great Talmud Chacham. So Rabbi Shmuel goes to the, he doesn't want to do it. And she comes to the Chacham to complain, my son is not honoring me, he's not honoring you. She tells him the whole story. So the Chacham explained to her, to Rabbi Shmuel, since she wants it, then that's her covered. So to a certain extent, even though it seems very degrading to her, but she wants to do it. She feels that in that way, she's sharing in the source of your Torah, so let her. Anyway, so Mechab de Bechayv, Mechab de Bemoise. Kate said, Bechayv Kate said, what does it mean? A person honors his parents while he's alive, while the father is alive. For example, hanishma bedvar oviv amokim. Suppose a person is going to a certain place where he knows that people will pay attention to what he says because of his father. The people over here respect his father, and if he tells them to do something for his father's sake, they'll listen. So then, lo yoyma shachuni b'shvil atzmi. So he shouldn't say, for example, he needs them to let him go. He needs to do his business and get out of there. So he shouldn't say, send me away because of myself, because I'm busy or whatever. Or maharuni b'shvil atzmi, or please hurry up my business because of myself. Or patruni b'shvil atzmi, or exempt me because of myself. All of them you should say, let me go or exempt me or whatever for my father's sake. So that shows honor to his father. Like he's saying, it's not that I'm so important, but my father is important to do it for his sake. So that's included in Mechab de Mechayev. The Moise Kate said, what does it mean after he passed away? If a son is saying over a word of Torah in his father's name after, and the same thing, by the way, applies. If he's saying over something, not a word of Torah, but just something else in the name of his mother. You shouldn't just say, this is what my father said. He should say, so said my father, my Rebbe, I should be the kapora for his rest. In other words, that whatever punishments that need to come on him, in Olam Haba, whatever punishments that need to come on him in Olam Haba should come on me instead.
One second.
Now that applies only during 12 months. Mikan ve'elach. After that, most people don't stay in Gehenna longer than that. So you don't say Harini Kaparas Mishkavai. There was an interesting discussion about that. Now we say when it comes to Kaddish, we say for only 11 months because we don't want to say that the parent was a Rosha and has to be in Gehenna for 12 months. Why here do we say Harini Kaparas Mishkavai for 12 months? And one explanation is because Harini Kaparas Mishkavai doesn't necessarily mean his taka being punished in Gehenna. If there's anything that needs to come on him, then it should come on me instead. So that's appropriate to say during the whole 12 months. Adrabi, you don't want to. The Shach and the Taz discuss this point that you don't want to, the Taz particularly says you don't want to have that you're going to stop after 11 months and then falsely indicate that he is for sure out of Gehenna and in Gan Eden when that may not necessarily be the case. So therefore, you should say it the entire 12 months. But regardless, you say even for tzaddikim, for example, during the 12 months after Yud Shvat, Tov Shin Yud, for example, that ever wrote Harini Kaparas Mishkavoi all the time about the Frida Kadeva. So yeah, okay. The Gemara continues. Tanan Rabbanan. Chacham Meshana Shem Ovi V'Shem Rabbi. When a Chacham is giving a drosha, now the way they had the droshas in those times, as we know, the Chacham would say what he wants to say quietly, and then the Turgamon would repeat it out loud for everybody else. So when the Chacham is mentioning the, his Rebbe or his father or his Rebbe, Meshana Shem Ovi Veshem Rabbi, he changes the name. He doesn't mention them Befeirush because a person is not allowed to call his father or his Rebbe by their personal names. In fact, the Rambam learns from this halacha as well. If the father or the Rebbe has an unusual name, then you shouldn't even call other people by that name. So regular names, like everybody, names that everybody has, fine, there's no problem. Your father's name was Avraham, you can call other people Avraham. But if you have your father's name, let's say it was Koinimus or something, which is not a very usual name, then you shouldn't call other people who have the same name either. And we were just talking before about the Yid HaKadosh. In fact, that's they say a reason why he was called that, was that he was a very holy Jew, but his Rebbe, the Chozim Lublin, had the name Yaakov Yisro, had the name Yaakov Yitzchak, and he himself was also called Yaakov Yitzchak. So therefore, they didn't want to call him by the same name as their Rebbe, and therefore they gave him a nickname. Anyway, so Meshana Shem Avi V'Shem Rabbi. So he says, this is what my father, this is what Avi Modi or Rabbi Modi said, but Turgamon Ein Meshana Lo Shem Avi V'Lo Shem Rabbi. The Turgamon doesn't change the names; he just says them as it is. So the Gemara asks, Avur Deman. Whose father are we talking about? Ilema avur de maturgamon. Do we mean that the Chacham is saying something in the name of the father of the maturgamon? So why shouldn't the maturgamon change the name? Otur turgamon la bar chiyubahu. Doesn't he have the chiyub of kibud av ve'em as well? So why should he be saying the name as it is? What we mean is the father or the Rebbe of the Chacham. Ki hod ma barab ashi. For example, we have the example of ma barab ashi. He had a Dorosh Papirka when he was giving a Dorosha in a Pirka, which is one of the public Doroshas on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, Ihu Omer Abba Mori. So when he was quoting a particular din or something, he would say, this is what my father, my Rebbe said. The Amore, and then the Maturgamon would say, Omer Hochi Omer Rav Ashi, and he would say to the Tzibur, this is what Rav Ashi said. So Ma'abar Rav Ashi himself couldn't say, this is what Rav Ashi had said, because that would be disrespectful to his father, but the Turgamon is not a Talmud of Rav Ashi, so therefore he can say straight out, Hochi Omer Rav Ashi. So that's, and of course it would be vice versa. If he is quoting something in the name of the father of the Maturgamon, then it would be the other way around. The Rav, the Chacham, would say, so said Reb Ploini, and the Turgamon would say, so said Abba Mori. We learn in a braisa, ezehu moda the ezehu kibud. What is the definition? We said before you have the mitzvah of kibud, the kabbat savicha vesimecha, you have ish imav of tiro. What is the definition of moda? And what is the definition of kibud? So moda, loy oimid bimakoimai, moda includes that the son doesn't stand in his father's place. Now we mean, Rashi says, in other words, you have a particular place where his father stands when he's when they're having a conference of Talmid Chachamim or something, the father stands in a certain place, so the son shouldn't stand over there. He also shouldn't sit in his place, the regular place that the father sits. And here you have actually the Beis Yosef discusses this in some detail, that maybe actually the oimid over here doesn't mean literally to stand in a certain place, but rather it means, in other words, oimid and yoshev would both be referring to sitting, but you're talking about, in other words, you have the one place where he regularly sits, again, when they're having a conference of chachamim or when he's sitting and talking with his friends or whatever, and then you have like his regular place at home by the table or his regular sofa or whatever. So therefore, oimid and yoshev maybe would refer to those two things. Both of them refer to sitting rather than standing, but oimid would be to stay there a while in the place where he usually conferences with his friends, and yoshev would just be the place where he sits by the table or something. Anyway, so you're not supposed to do that. Voice so serious dvarav, also that the son is not allowed to contradict his father. And there you have a good deal of discussion about the ins and outs of that. What about, for example, when it comes to a discussion in Torah? We often have throughout the generations that sons argue with their fathers in matters of halacha. So they make a distinction between whether it's b'fonav or shaloi b'fonav and many other distinctions. Also, when his father and somebody else is having a machloikas in halacha, then he doesn't get involved to be machriya, to say, for example, I agree with the other person, because that would be against his father. In fact, the Rambam goes further. The Rambam says, even to say, my father is right is also not right. Very bistu to say that your father is right. You can bring proofs for him or something, but you shouldn't be the machriya, like I'm the one who gets to decide. So all of those are included in Moda. Kibud, what does it mean? Kibud, what is kibud avim? Machiv mashke means he gives his father food, his parents food and drink. Malbish Machasi gives him clothing and covering. Machnis Umotzi and brings in and out, which means like he manages their affairs and manages their business and whatever. Yeah, their appointments and all. So the Gemara says he boiled. So now we're saying that he's machil mashka and so forth. Michel me, from whose money does that machil mashka have to come for? Do we mean that the son himself has to lay out money for it? Or do we mean that the son takes money, that the father supplies money, and then it's the son's responsibility, for example, to go shopping and to prepare the food or whatever, but not to actually pay for it? Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Michel Ben, Rabbi Nassan Ba'oshia, I'm a Michel Ab. So you have machloikas whether the son has to pay out the money or whether the father does. So the Gemara says odo leira bonon l'Rav Yirmiyah. So the Chachamim gave practical psak halacha to Rav Yirmiyah. But amilo the braid Rav Yirmiyah, or some say it was to the son of Rav Yirmiyah, commander Omer Michel Av, according to the opinion that it's Michel Av. So in other words, the idea would be that. So the idea would be, in other words, if the father doesn't want to spend money on himself, then the son is not necessarily responsible. Tosfos discusses over here that now according to Rabbi Yehuda that it's Michel Bain, you still have, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, for example, that the Gemara tells us above Metzia and Eva Metzias, for example, that if you've lost something and your father lost something, then you're entitled to go look for yours first ahead of your father. So Tosfos makes the distinction. It's not that it's not a direct benefit to the father. It's more of an indirect thing. Here we're talking about actually paying money for his food and whatever, versus there we're talking about that he lost something. He'll benefit, obviously, when the Aveda is found, but it's more of an indirect thing. And again, here's where Tosfos makes the distinction that we said before about, for example, throwing the purse into the sea. When would you have a mitzvah of kibud av and not to talk back to him or whatever, is when the father is having hanah from that, when somehow it's a benefit to do that, to throw the purse into the sea, but not where he's doing it stam because of rishus. Then they also talk about what about in that story of Dama ben Nesina, where he lost an enormous amount of money. So again, there's a few different answers. There, for one thing, it's not hefsed mammon. It's he didn't manage to make a profit. So there, the Gemara is going to say soon that the son for sure is mechoyavin when it comes to honoring his father. He has to be able to set aside his business affairs when necessary and take care of his father. And also again, of course, there was a matter of waking him up over there, and he could have been lefnim meshuras hadin. So the Gemara says Mesvi. So the Gemara says I have a contradiction. So you're telling me that the halacha is Michel Av, that the halacha is the money for supporting the father comes from the father's own resources. Tosfos, by the way, discusses that what happens, for example, what if the father Taka doesn't have any money? So then the son is responsible to support him. If nothing else, it's tzedakah. Even if it wasn't his father, he'd be responsible to support him as a matter of tzedakah. So therefore, so that would apply as well. And Tosfos brings a story from the Yerushalmi in our sugya, on our mission, which also talks extensively about kibud av va'em, and gives an example where the chachamim told a son that he has to support his father when the father himself couldn't afford to support himself. Anyway. So Mesvi, the Gemara says, Nema, we learned before, Nema kabedas avicha v'asimecha, v'nema kabedas Hashem mehoincha. We said before that you have the word kabed by Hashem and by parents, and we learned from that, we said that Hashem considers kibud av va'em as important as his own kabed. But we learn also malahalim b'chisod and kis, amkan b'chisod and kis. When it comes to honoring Hashem, there's chisod and kis. You expect that you have those mitzvahs that you have to spend money on. So the same way with kibud av, there can also be, it means also even if there's chisod and kis involved. So the question is, v'yamet mishal av, if you're telling me that all the support is coming from the father's money anyway, ma'in afka lamine, what chisod and kis? You're not spending anything anyway. You're taking your father's money and going and spending it on groceries and whatnot. And the answer is a bit of malacha. And the answer is still, the son sometimes has to take off from work. And for kibud av va'em, that's the kind of thing we're talking about where there's chisod and kis. Again, according to one answer, that's exactly the point that we learned from the story of Dama ben Nesina, where even though he's losing out a huge amount of money, but it's not, he's not losing money he already has. He's just taking off, he's losing potential money that he could earn, so that the son is responsible to do. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring another proof. A Braisa says, now we learned last week about the concept when it comes to pidyon maisa sheni, when a person has maisa sheni and he exchanges it for coins, which then he takes the coins to Yerushalayim and buys food with them, etc. Usually when a person redeems his own maisa sheni, he has to add a choymesh. He has to add an extra 25%. However, if he's being poida somebody else's, then he doesn't have to. We learned previously about a woman when she's being poida, there are special rules. But anyway, so here a Braisa says, Beis Achim, suppose there are two brothers and one of them wants to be poida, the other one's Maisa Sheni, or Shnei Shutfin, or two partners, Ha'av Ubnoi, a father and son, Harav V'Talmidoi, a Rebbe and his Talmud, Poidin, Zelos and Maisa Sheni, they can redeem one another's Maisa Sheni without paying the Choymish. In other words, even though, so for example, it's an obvious trick, but still, Reuven has Maisa Sheni. He doesn't want to have to pay the Choymesh, so he gives Shimon the money, and he says, you go and be poided. So that's fine, he can do it and not have to pay the Choymesh. And the same thing with the other one. And also, they can give each other Maisa Oni when necessary, when they're poor, because they're not, after all, the same person. Now, the Amit Michel Ben, if you're going to tell me, like Rabbi Yehuda says, that the son is the one who has to pay out money to honor his father and to give him food, how could he give his father Maisa Sheni? Wouldn't it come out that he has an obligation to support his father, and he's now paying it off for money of Anim? You can't do that. And the answer is, Loit Sricha Lahadofa. It doesn't mean the basic amount that the father would need just to, in order to live. We're talking about extra. You have a normal amount of food. He himself, we would say, he has to give him mida beininess, a normal amount of food that most people eat. Let's say, for whatever reason, the father has to eat more or has more expensive tastes or whatever, that he would be able to do out of maaser on it, because that's not part of his original chiyuv. So the Gemara asks, "Hachi, haidu the katani Allah? If so, then how do you explain the Braisa that says, in reference to this to this first Braisa, the Braisa continues, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Tovei me'eiro l'mishamachalos oviv ma'isa oni, a curse should come on somebody who feeds his father ma'isa oni. Because what do you mean? What are you pattering yourself by something that you're supposed to be giving to other aniyim? The ilah hadofa, if you're only talking about the extra amount he's giving his father, my nafka mina, what's the problem? He's basically supporting his father out of his own money. There's only extra that his father needs sometimes, those he's taking out of maaser ani. Why is Rabbi Yehuda saying such a strong expression about it? And the answer is, I feel a hochi zila ben milsa. It's a bizoyan to be feeding his father maaser sheni as though like he's no better than the aniyim. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda criticizes a person who does that even for the hadofa. But he should be doing even the hadofa out of his own resources. Okay, the Gemara says, Toshma, Sholos Rabbi Eliezer. We learned this before. They asked Rabbi Eliezer, Ad Heichan Kibud Av, how far does the Chiyuv of Kibud Av go? Kibud Av Ve'en, Omalahem, and he answers them, Kadesh Yitzel Arniki, even to the extent that the father takes a purse of money, Be'ezer Kenel Yam Bafonav, and he throws it into the sea in the presence of the son, Ve'en Machlima, and the son doesn't embarrass his father, it doesn't talk back to him. Now, v'yamet Michel Av, my nafkalemine, if you're going to tell me that Kibud Av comes from the father's resources, so why should the son care? The father wants to go waste his money. Why would we expect that the son, Bechal, would get upset to the extent that he would talk back to his father?
See,
one second. So the answer is, B'roi L'yoshin. The answer is where he's in position to yoshin him. So therefore, this would have been money that eventually he would yoshin. So in other words, this braisa would work out according to either opinion. If you say Michelle Bain, then it's obvious. It means that it's the son's purse of money, and the father threw it into the sea. And as Tosfos says, he has a certain hana from it for whatever reason, and therefore calms him down or whatever. And yet the son doesn't talk back to him. If we're saying that it's Michel Av, then it would mean the son might think to himself, well, eventually I was going to yaushin that money. What a pity it's lost. And still, the Ainim Achlin. And the Gemara gives an example. V'chihod Rabba Barav Huna, as we have an example involving Rabba Barav Huna. The Rav Huna korashiroi ba'anpe Rabba Bre. Rav Huna one time ripped up a piece of silk clothing in front of his son Rabba. Omar, he says, Ezo echzi I rosach ilo rosach. I want to see whether my son Rabba is going to get angry or not. So they want to ask for Dumar Rosach. What if the son does get angry and yells back at his father? Isn't the father Rav Huna then being over on Lifne Ivr because he calls his son to do an Avera? And the answer is the mochelali kore. The answer is we're talking about that the father was moichel on his cupboard, as the Gemara is going to talk about soon, that a father can be moichel on his cupboard, and therefore, even if Rabbah had yelled back or talked back, it still wouldn't have been a violation of kibbutz avim. Tosfos then adds, it means, though, that Rav Huna would have had to inform Rabbah ahead of time that he plans to do that, that he's going to be moichel on his cupboard. Because otherwise, we're going to learn at the end of the Masechta, you can have a case where a person thought that he's doing an Aveira, and it turns out he's not. Classic example, the Gemara gives, that a person thought he's eating chazer flesh, and it turns out it was kosher to meat. He still needs a kapara because he thought to do an Aveira. So the same way, if hypothetically, if Rabbi Bar Rav Huna had gotten angry and he didn't know his father was moichel on his cupboard, then he would, in his mind, he would have been at that point over on kibbutz avim, moda avim. So therefore, Rav Huna would have had to tell him in advance. So the Gemara then asks, still, don't you have another problem? Isn't there also the problem of Bal Tashchis, that he's destroying something useful? How do you just rip up silk clothing like that? The answer is, the answer is he didn't do it in the middle of the cloth. He did it on the hem of the cloth, where it's a, or not the hem, whatever, where on a seam. So anyway, so it's easy enough to sew back up afterwards, so it's not really a hezek. So the Gemara asks, well, maybe then in that case, then the test is not going to be a very valid test anyway. Maybe Rabbi Bar Rav Huna won't get angry because he'll realize his father is not ripping it in a way that is going to damage it anyway. The answer is the Ovid Lebashas Riske. Rav Huna timed it to do it. When Rabba was upset because of something else, then he did this, figuring that what he wants to test whether Rabba Bar Rav Huna is going to hold himself back, is going to be able to control his temper and not talk back to his father. In other words, he might not realize when he's already upset about something else that his father is ripping it only on the seam. He might mistakenly think that he's ripping it in the middle and actually then destroying a valuable garment like that. And he wanted to see how his son is going to react and test him in that. You have the famous expression in the Medrash that says, when Hashem tested Avraham over and over, so the Medrash uses a mushal that, for example, a potter, a person who makes clay pots, he never tests the weak ones because he knows you're going to tap on them and they're going to break. He tests the strong ones because you can whack on them again and again and nothing happens. The same way the Abish tested the Tzaddikim. So I guess the same thing over here. If Rav Huna is testing Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, he knew that there's a good chance he's going to pass the test.
Rav Huna was the son?
Rabbi Bar Rav Huna is the son of Rav Huna. So this isn't the regular Rabbah and Shas. Regular Rabbah and Shas is Rabbah Bar Nachmeni. This is Rabbah Bar Rav Huna. Okay. Here's another din in Kibbutz Av Ve'Em that we're going to learn from the following story. It starts off, Masdele Rabbi Chezkel Romi Brei. Rabbi Chezkel one time was teaching the following Mishnah in Sanhedrin to his son Romi. You have in various places in Shas, Romi by Chezkel, this is the one. So Rabbi Chezkel was teaching Rami. The Mishnah says like this, Hanisrofim Niskolim. What happens if you have some people who are Chayiv Srefa and others who are Chayiv Skila and they get mixed together and we lost track of who is who? What kind of mitzvah do we give them? Reb Shimon Omi, you don't know with Skila. So Reb Shimon says, you give all of them Skila, Shah Srefa Chamora, because Srefa, according to Reb Shimon, is the harsher punishment. The Gemara discusses in Sanhedrin, the Chachamim hold the order is in this order, from harshest to least harsh, Skila, Srefa, Hereg, Chenek. On the other hand, Reb Shimon says, Srefa, Skila, Chenek, Hereg. So therefore, according to him, Srefa is the stronger punishment. So you can't give the ones who are chayiv skila, you can't upgrade their punishment to srefa, because that would be giving them a stronger punishment than they deserve. Therefore, they have to all get skila, because according to him, skila is the weaker punishment. And the Gemara discusses over there where Rav Shimon gets that from and why the Chachamim say differently. Anyway, Omer le Rav Yehuda Brei, Rav Yehuda was overhearing this, and he says, this is the regular Rav Yehuda, the Amora throughout Shas. We're going to learn later in the Masechta, his full name was Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yechezkel. Usually in the Gemara, so this is the same Rabbi Yehuda over here. Usually in the Gemara, he's just called Rabbi Yehuda. You have all over, Omer Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, but here we have him together with his father and his brother, who were all distinguished Tamid Chachamim. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda says, Abba loy tisni yehachi, Tati, you shouldn't be teaching the Mishnah in that washen, because my iria Srefa Chamora. Never mind the fact that Rabbi Shimon is saying that Srefa is harsher, and therefore you can't upgrade everybody to Srefa. Typically, the Rabban Niskalim, you know, isn't there a better reason? If the Loshen HaNisrafim B'Niskalim suggests you have a large number of Nisrafim, or you have a large number of Niskalim, and they've got mixed in among them a couple of Nisrafim. So anyway, the ones who get Skila are the Roiv. So for that reason alone, you have to give all of them Skila rather than Srefa, because you go according to the Roiv. Ella hochi isni and a skolim minisrafim. Rather, the proper lotion of the Mishnah should be the niskolim got mixed up with the nisrafim, suggesting the other way around. Most of them are nisrafim, a few niskolim got mixed in them. So if you were to go according to the roiv, you would have said sreifa for all of them. But Reb Shimon says you can't do that because the fact is there is the miut who don't deserve sreifa, and therefore you give them all skila. So Reb Yechezkel asks, you're going to say like that, then look at the next part of the Mishnah. The Chum say no, you give them all Sreifa, because they hold Skila is stronger than Sreifa. You get it again according to your version, Rabbi Huda. You can ask my iri the Skila Chamura. Who cares that Skila is stronger? Typically, the Ruben Nisrafim Ninu. According to your Svara, there anyway are more Nisrafim than Niskalim. So what's the difference whether Skila Chamura? Shouldn't you go according to the Roiv, and most of them are getting Sreifa? And for that reason alone, the Chachamim should be saying that they get Sreifa, not because Skila is Chamura, but because most of them are Nisrafim anyway. Amrele, so Rabbi Yehuda answers, Hosam Rabbonon Hu Deka Amrele Rabbi Shimon. The answer is, this is the Chachamim are arguing with Reb Shimon, and they're telling him as follows. And they're saying, you're arguing that Sreifa is stronger, lois Skila Chamura, in fact Skila is stronger. In other words, what they're saying is, like this, in this scenario where it's mostly Nisrafim, you have to give them all Sreifa anyway because you have to go according to the Roy. Right. But even according to your Svara, that you're thinking that you can't give them a stronger punishment, well, you should know Skila is stronger than Sreifa. So that's a second reason not to. So that would be according to our Svara. So you would have to agree that in this case, they all got Sreifa anyway because you go according to the Roy. But even if you're going to argue Sreifa is more Chomer, no, as a matter of fact, Skila is more Chomer. So therefore, so it works out when you say that most of them are Nisrafim. So now, having said that, Omale Shmuel of Yehuda, Shinin, a sharp one, Loi Temele La'avucha Hachi. You shouldn't talk to your father like that, where you said to him, Loi Tisni Hachi, don't teach the Mishnah like this, but rather learn it differently. It's not respectful to your father to talk like that, that to tell him that he made a mistake. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, if a person's father was being over on something in the Torah, and we can mean that he lives b'shogeg, we can mean maybe it is b'mezid, but he has to be informed, he needs asra after all. Anyway, don't tell him, Tapti, you violated what it says in the Torah. Tell him, this is what it says in the Torah. So the Gemara asks, isn't that also paining him? He's going to realize that that itself amounts to saying it says such and such in the Torah, and you didn't do that. So you tell him that it's, you know, Tati, it says in a pasuk such and such, and he himself will realize the mistake. Or the Rambam phrases it, the Rambam understands it, that it means he says it bitmiya. Does it say in the Torah such and such? And you and that way he'll realize the mistake that he made. Without telling him outright. There's chassidish avort on that says that there are places in psukim where we say certain psukim to Hashem to ask him to have rachmanus on us and all. It's the same kind of thing. Abba kosav atorah kach. We're not even saying do this for us. We're saying, you know, it says in your Torah such and such, and you Hashem will automatically realize from that what we need. Okay. Mudinim Elazar ben Masya Omer Abba Omer Hashkeni Mayim. Suppose my father tells me I want a drink of water. Or mitzvah lasses, and at the same time, there's a mitzvah that has to be accomplished. Maniach ani kvoid abba, then I would set aside the covered of my father v'oiseh as a mitzvah and do the mitzvah. Shani v'abba chayav v'mitzvah, because after all, both my father and I are chayav in mitzvah. Isi ben Yehuda Omer, but Isi ben Yehuda says not so simple. Im efshel a mitzvah le'osas ha'idei achirim, if the mitzvah can be accomplished by somebody else, te'osah ha'idei achirim, then let somebody else accomplish it, and he'll do kibud av. And then he himself should go and do his father's covered. So the halacha is like that. Okay. If a father wants to be moichel on his covered, then his covered is machol, like we had before in the story of Rav Huna and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna. On the other hand, harav shemachol akvoide ain't kvoide machol. But if a rebbe wants to be mochel on his kavod, then that wouldn't work. And the idea would be, because after all, there's Torah involved, and at this point, the Gemara is assuming that the Torah is not his to be mochel on the kavod of it. But Rabbi Yosef says no. Afilo harav shemachol akvoide kvoide machol. Even a rebbe can be mochel on his kavod, and that works. As we find that Hashem went before the Jewish people to lead them the way, right. So Hashem, so to speak, was mochel on his kavod as the Rebbe of the Jewish people, and then led them through the desert and all. Even though usually that would be something that a servant does for his master, but Hashem did it for the Jewish people. Omar Rava Hochi Hashta, but Rava says, how are you comparing the two? Hosma Kodesh Baruch Hu Alma Dilehu, the whole world belongs to Hashem, but Torah Dilehi, and the Torah also belongs to Hashem. So good, Mochalei Kodesh Hashem can mean Mochal on his cupboard because it all belongs to him. Hocha, but when it comes to over here, the cupboard of a Rebbe, Torah Dilehi, is the Torah his that he can be Mochal on the cupboard? Hodo Omar Rava, then Rava changed his mind and said, "Ain't." As a matter of fact, yes, Torah Dilehi, the Torah is considered to belong to the Talmud Chacham, and therefore he can be mochel on the kavod of it. As the pasuk says, in his Torah he delves day and night. So who's the Sodas Soi? Doesn't mean the Torah of Hashem. Then why repeat that? It means originally it's Torah Hashem, but after the Rav learns it. And makes it part of his pnimius and makes it part of his metzius, then it becomes Torah soy, it becomes his Torah. So now it's his to the extent that he can be mochel on the kavod. Torah b'shemaymi, right. Okay, so the Gemara says, Eini, so is that so, that a Rav is able to be mochel on his kavod? It happened that Rav was giving out cups of wine to drink by his son's chasana. The dolle kosel at a papa of Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua. He lifted up the cup to offer it to the papa and Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua, who were his talmidim. The kamum mikameh, and they stood up in his honor when they're taking the cup, so they allowed him to serve them. He's the Baal HaSimcha, but they stood up in his honor. But then then Rava went over to the next table where a Mori and a Pinchas Breder of Chista are sitting, and he offered them drinks, and they didn't stand up in his honor. Ikpad, and Rava was makpid on that, and he said, Hanu Rabbonin Rabbonin, Bahanu Rabbonin Lav Rabbonin. What do you think? These Chachamim are Chachamim, and these Chachamim are not Chachamim. What do you think? That you guys are greater Chachamim, and therefore you don't have to stand up for me, and Rapapa and Rav Huna B'rei de Yeshua are not, and therefore they should have to stand up. So we see that the Rav can't be mochel on his cupboard. Now, if he could be mochel on his kavod, the Ran explains, certainly he wouldn't be makpid on them, so it has to be that on the face of it, we see from the story, that he can't be mochel on his kavod. And here's another example. The two, Rapapa Abba Mashki Behilula de Abba Marbre, Rapapa was giving out drinks by the chasana of his son Abba Mar, the Dola Le Kosa Lurab Yitzchak Breder Yehuda, he lifted up the cup and offered it to Rab Yitzchak Breder Yehuda, Voloi Kami Kameh, and again Rab Yitzchak Breder Yehuda did not stand up. The Ikbad, and again Rapapa was upset about that, and again that shows that he can't be mochel on his kavod. And the Gemara says no, because afilo hochi hidu mevet lebo. It's true that I don't have to fully stand up for him because he's mochel on his kavod, but at least they should be showing epesa hidu. Like, for example, like to make a motion like I'd like to stand up. That way, at least it shows that it's not a complete zilzal. And like also, in other words, the idea is, the Me'iri says, you want to show, yes, he's serving drinks, but you want to show like it's not really respectful that I should be receiving a service from you, my Rebbe, so therefore like you make like a motion or whatever to show that. The Gemara continues, Amar Ravashi, afilo lamanda omar harav shemochel akvodi, kvodi mochel. Now, even according to the opinion that a Rav can be mochel on his kavod, and who is that opinion? We just said on the face of it, everybody agrees to that. So one possibility is it means Rapapa Rehuna B'rei Yeshua, who fully stood up for Rava, so evidently they figured that he's not mochel on his kavod. Anyway, so even if you say that he could be mochel, Nasi Shemochel Akvoide Ein Kvoide Mochel, but the Nasi, like the family of Hillel and Ram Gamliel and Rebbe and that whole family of Nasiim, cannot be mochel on his kavod. But the Gemara says, Meis, I have a contradiction to that. Maisa but Rabbi Yezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Tzadik, Shari Masubin, Mabes Mishnah, Bnei Shurav Gamliel. These three Chachamim were reclining and then eating by the wedding of the son of Rabbi Gamliel. Vahoy Rabbi Gamliel, Oymen Mashgalem, and Rabbi Gamliel was standing there and offering them drinks. Nasan Akos to Rabbi Yezer, but like not like he offered a cup to Rabbi Yezer, and Rabbi Yezer didn't want to take it because not respectful to take from the Nasi. Nasan to Rabbi Yeshua, but Kibloi. Then he offered it to Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua did accept it. Omalo Rabbi Yezer, Mazeh Yeshua, what's going on over here, Yeshua? Onur Yoshvin, Rabbi Gamliel, Berebi, Omer Mashka Aleinu. Is it right that we should be sitting and Rabbi Gamliel, Berebi should be standing and serving us? Berebi, by the way, means Berebi, Berebi means Odom Godel. So not that his father was Rebbe, but it's a title for an Odom Godel. So how is it right that he's standing and serving us? Omalei, so Rabbi Yeshua says, what's the problem? Matsinu Godu Mimenu Shishimish. We find somebody much greater than Rabbi Gamliel who served people. Avram Godu Mimenu Shishimish. Avram is much greater than Rabbi Gamliel, and he served his guests. Avram Godu Ador Hoya. Avram was the greatest one of his generation. In fact, he was a Nasi. We find that the Bnei Ches call him Nasi Alekimat B'Sechenu. The Kosebaivahu Oimen Aleim. And yet it says he's standing over the guests, the three guests to serve them. The Shema Tomru Kamalacha Shardus Nidmaloi, you're going to think, okay, well, they look to him like Malachim, for sure he's going to go serve Malachim. No, Lod Nidmaloi El Arabim. We know that they appeared to him like Arabs. We know that's why he told Rashi mentioned on the Pasuk, that's why he told them to wash their feet. Yeah. So V'onu Lo Yehei Rabbi Gamliel B'Rebbe Oymen Mashka Aleinu. Isn't it then fair enough that Rabbi Gamliel B'Rebbe should be able to stand and serve us? So now the point is, in other words, we see that the Anossi could be Moichel on his coven. And the story continues. Omer Lahem Rabbi Tzadik Ad Moshe Atam Anichem Kavod Hashem Mokim V'Atam Oiskim B'Kavod Abrius. Why are you ignoring the covet of Hashem and dealing with the covet of creatures? In other words, as great as Avram was, he's far to Nivra. You want to? I can give you a better example from Hashem himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashiv Ruchos, Hashem makes the wind blow, Umala Nisim, he makes the clouds come up. There might be a play on words over here also. I mean, the word Nisim does mean cloud, but we're talking over here about the Nasi, so maybe that's why Rabbi Tzadik chose to use that expression. Anyway, Umodid Mutter, Hashem makes the rain fall, and these are all things we know Hashem does directly. The key of rain is not given over to any Shliach. Umatzmiach Adama, and Hashem causes things to grow from the ground. And he sets a table in front of every single person. So what makes you think that Rabbi Gamliel B'Rebbe shouldn't be able to be standing and serving us? So therefore, so we see from this that a Nasi could be Moichel on his coven. So Ela Itmar Hochi Itmar. Rather, if it was said in the name of Rav Ashi, this is what was said. Amar Rav Ashi, Afilu Lamadu Amar Nasi Shemochel Akvodik Vodik Mochel. Even according to the opinion that a Nasi cannot be Moichel on his coven, which would be, for example, the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who doesn't want to take the cup that Rabbi Gamliel is serving him, even according to Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Tzadik, who are willing to accept the service from Rabbi Gamliel, even according to them, Melech Shemochel HaKvodeh Ein Kvodeh Mochel. But a Melech cannot be Moichel on his coven. Shenema Soim Tosim Alacha Melech. The Pasuk says you should place a king over yourself, and that means Shetei Mose Alacha. The word Soim Tosim means that the king's fear should be on you, and therefore he can't be Moichel on his coven. The idea being, in other words, that the covet of the king is not his own. It was given to him by Hashem, and we don't have, unlike with the Torah, where we said before, Torah Dilehu, by the Malchus, we don't say that, therefore he can't be Moichel on that. Marsha points out, now we said before Hashem was Moichel on his covet, and Hashem is also the king of the Jewish people. The difference is, again, the kingship belongs to Hashem, so therefore he can be Moichel on it, but the kingship doesn't belong to a boss of Adam, and he needs, and therefore there needs to be Soim Tosim Allah HaMelech. In fact, there's a vort on it, I think it's brought from the Rogatchover. How do we learn from Soim Tosim Allah HaMelech Shetei Masa Allah? The idea is Soim Tosim, you have to keep on putting him over you as king. So if he's Moichel on his covered, doesn't happen. Nevertheless, Tosim, you still have to put it yourself, himself, and you have to put him as king over you again and not allow him to be Moichel on his covered. And says, therefore, the result is he can't be Moichel on his covered, So there is a certain distinction in that between in private and public, for example, that Rambam brings in Hilchos Malachim when a Talmud Chacham comes to visit comes for an audience in front of the king. If it's in private, then the king can do like Yehoshaphat and get up and give him a hug and a kiss and call him Rebbe or Modi. But when he's in public, then he has to act in a dignified way. That's Soim Tosim Malachim. Shukriyah, everyone.
Shukriyah.